From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author. Producer Lizzie Steele is making all the technology work, and she'll answer your phone call to get you on our board. If you missed the first hour, you can go back to iHeartRadio or betterlawns.com, and you can hear all of the shows, or you can just go to anywhere where you listen to podcasts, and you can hear both of the hours wherever you are. And so, good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning.
Having a great morning so far.
Yes, and go ahead and continue to text us at 23680, your favorite rose.
Yes, we'll be talking about roses. June is National Rose Month, and I'll be telling you my favorites, so you want to get a pen and paper so you can write them down. And I'm also going to be talking about, Lizzie, have you seen them come up, the rain lilies?
No.
Oh, just as soon as the rain started, rain lilies all over my yard. So
nice.
I'll be talking a little bit about those. And it's time for the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is two different phrases, caliper and DBH, DBH, dog boy happy. All right. And so the caliper has several definitions, but in our context today, it means the thickness, especially of a tree, or the diameter of the tree. Now, arborists and nurseries measure the size of trees at diameter, at breast height, DBH, that's all capitalized, to ensure consistency over time across acreage and between data collectors. DBH means the diameter of each tree measured at the same height, which is called breast height, defined as 4.5 feet up from the highest point of ground at the tree's base. DBH measurements can be used to estimate the volume, biomass, and carbon storage of trees. Diameter is a line, going back to my high school math days, that passes through the center of a circle, with the endpoints of the line located on the edge of a circle. Scientists measure the circumference of a tree and calculate the diameter using circumference equals diameter times pi. I'm sorry, divided by pi. Diameter divided by pi. 3.14.
Now I'm hungry.
Yes, I can. Do you celebrate National Pi Day?
Yes, but anyway, go ahead.
Scientists sometimes use tape measures that are calibrated or adjusted for diameter based on this equation. So why is this important? Because DBH is a necessary measurement for homeowners to apply correct amounts of fertilizer for trees, especially fruit trees. You need to measure that DBH. So how do you do it? To determine breast height is conventionally set at 4.5 feet above the ground level. If you have sloped property, measure the tree from the uphill side, and you can measure it with kind of a seamstress measurement, tape measure, you know, the ones that are very flexible, and you can just put it right around the trunk of the tree at 4.5 feet high. You wrap a measuring tape to wrap around the tree, and you measure its circumference. So then you divide the circumference by pi, approximately 3.14, to calculate the diameter. And so this is a special cases. If you have irregularly shaped trunks, take multiple measurements around the trunk and calculate the average diameter. If you have multi-stem trees like crepe myrtles, measure each stem at breast height and note each one separately, add them up, and you'll get that. So DBH is very important. The caliper of the tree is the measurement at that 4.5 feet high. All right, so that's an important measurement for homeowners to know so they know how much fertilizer to put down. So that is the dirty word of the day. So this hour is for everyone who has a garden question. I'm going to be talking about roses and rain lilies and what to do in your landscape when we come back from the break. 1-888-455-2967. That's 1-888-455-2967. If you'd like to text us your favorite rose, then you can go 23680 and give us your favorite rose. And then also to go to our Facebook page. We have a great Facebook page where we promote and we post all of the shows, so you don't miss any of them. You can just click on it and listen to the show right away.
Yes.
And then also too, we post the top five. I'll be doing that this afternoon. And then we see Lizzie post things from Lizzie Said What and her and her turkey adventures too as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we'd love to hear from you. And so 1-888-455-2967 if you are in the garden area. So one of the great places that I love to buy rain lilies from is Plant Delights Nursery in North Carolina.
Ah, yes, yes.
They have beautiful, beautiful rain lilies. And if you've never had them, the state of Florida has a native rain lily called an Adamasco, and it is white. You will find them all the way through the different forests. So Cala National Forest has them. Up in North Florida has them. And we're going to get to your text messages here. I've heard from Tony in Melbourne. We're going to answer all of those. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, and also tour guide. I'm adding on new little roles here and there. So we love to take our guests around and show them beautiful private and public gardens. If you would love to go on a tour with me, we go international and also nationally. You can go to artinbloomgardentours.com. artinbloomgardentours.com.
All one word. Is that like the letter N or I-N?
I-N. A-R-T-I-N. Art and Bloom. B-L-O-O-M. Gardentours.com.
There you go. And you, that's where you can get the prices for everything. But make sure you sign. You go in there and you sign up early if you're going to do this, because they sell out very quickly.
They do. And we only have just a couple of spaces left in our great one for Buffalo, New York. And it is the largest garden walk in the United States, and it is just a beautiful, beautiful walking from garden to garden, and 400 homes open up their gardens, and it's just incredible. Plus, we also go to Niagara Falls in Canada, and so you have to have a passport for this one, a Canadian passport, but we would love to have you join us. So that's artandbloomgardentours.com. So roses are really popular in the summertime across the country. It is our national flower, and June is National Rose Month. And so here in Florida, people are surprised when they move here that you can grow beautiful roses here, and you can. It just depends on the variety and how you maintain them and their and what their needs are. So the most important thing is, with Florida's sandy soils, you need to grow roses that are grafted on Fortuniana rose stems. And the majority of them are like that. Now, there are some varieties that still do well that are not grafted. They just don't last as long. And the reason roses, I mean, in France, roses last hundreds of years. But here in Florida, because of our sandy soils, our nematodes, and our, you know, rain and disease issues that are just what we have here to deal with, roses don't last. I would say probably 7 to 10 years at the most, but that's okay. You can just buy new roses, all right? So roses can be either low or high maintenance. The low maintenance roses that I like to grow are the old heirloom roses, the antique roses, also called old garden roses, and then shrub roses. Okay, we have new varieties on the market. So you can buy hybrid teas, grandifloras, floribundas, polyanthas. These are considered modern roses, but they're high maintenance because they require frequently to get them to rebloom that you prune them a lot. And then they also need fertilizer and watering and also spraying for diseases. So I consider those high maintenance. The low maintenance landscapes roses are the old varieties, and they smell wonderful. And you don't need to cut them back often, and they don't get a lot of disease issues. So those are wonderful. Roses can be planted year-round. In North Florida, it's better to plant in the early spring. But nurseries will sell roses all year round, and some of them are bare root. And those can usually between October and March, you can buy the bare root ones. So just check and make sure the variety is good. Bare root roses, like I said, are not usually grafted onto fortunianas. So fortunianas are less susceptible to nematodes. But you can help that by amending your soil with topsoil, compost, peat moss. Have a really good, nice soil, moisture-loving soil that percolates well. They need full sun. Okay, some can do all right in less than 6 hours, but roses will bloom better and more often in full sun. You want to add 2 to 4 inches of organic material and mix it down to a depth of 12 inches. Now, by that, you don't want to do a single hole. Go ahead, because the plants you buy, the roses in the 3 gallon pots, are already in good soil. You want to amend the entire garden bed. Now, if you only have one, then, you know, amend that area around it, but just not in the hole itself. You want to plant the rose at the same depth that it was growing in the container to make sure that graft is above the ground. Now, any suckers that come from the bottom below the graft, and you will notice them because they have different leaf shapes. And they usually have like 3 leaves on a long, long stem. You want to cut those off so they don't take away nutrition from the bush. You want to apply mulch around each rose bush, and you want to irrigate frequently for 6 to 8 weeks to establish. Now, here in Florida, that frequently means that you want to water at least twice a week. But if you get rainfall, don't overwater. Okay. And so 6 to 8 weeks, you want to water for 2 to 3 times. You can hand water once. So you get to water twice if no rain, and then hand water. But if we're getting the rainfall, that's important. You don't need to add more. So fertilize once a month from mid-February to mid-November, the growing season. And in South Florida, you can do it monthly, year-round. You want to apply one cup of fertilizer per plant monthly, or a half a cup bi-monthly. And if your plant is small or just getting started, you don't need to use that full amount. You want to groom your plants so they stay healthy. And by this, I mean you want to pick up any dead leaves from your garden. And then you also want to make sure that you remove the flowers after each bloom cycle, break off the suckers, like I said, and remove the dead wood and any canes showing disease symptoms. You can prune your hybrid teas, grandifloras, and floribundas in February or March in North and Central Florida. You want to prune your roses in South Florida in December. So how do you prune them? We no longer tell you to go down to the stems that have 5 leaves. That's no longer necessary. You want to remove twigs and branches that are dead, diseased, and injured or spindly. And if they are, you want to make sure you're using sterilized tools and clean your tools, sterilize them before going to another rose bush. Okay, you want to be very, very clean, just like a hospital surgery room. You want to shorten your main canes and your lateral branches when you prune them. And you want to leave at least half the length of each main cane that is 1 to 3 years old. Okay, so you're going to be doing more specific cuts as your rosebush gets older. You want to make pruning cuts just above a dormant bud. So above and bud. So the A goes before the B. That tells you you want to remove the bud above the dormant bud. I remove the stem above the dormant bud. Remove whole branches with a smooth cut diagonally at the point of juncture. Cut flowers. How do you know if you want to use your flowers, when to cut them? So once the green sepals, and that's the green leaves on the outside of your rosebud, once those fold back towards the stem and the outside petals loosen and start to unfurl, then you can cut them to bring them inside. If you cut the buds too soon, then they're not going to open up. You want to use a sharp knife or pruning shears to cut flowers. Make a clean cut just above a well-developed leaf to prevent dieback. And then pest management. We have pests here in Florida.
No, lies.
We do. No, we do. We have pests. We have the weather. We have fungal issues. We have disease issues. And the rain comes down and gives us black spot. So how do you prevent black spot? Well, one, how you take care of your plants. You want to water in from 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock so your plants don't stay wet longer than 5 hours. But you don't want to water at night, and don't overhead water. So don't water the leaves when you're irrigating. You can water it with low volume emitters down at the bottom towards the base of your rose bush. Leaves do not need water, and they get disease issues when they stay wet. So I love to use BioAdvance 3-in-1. It is a product that will reduce fungal issues. It is fertilizer, and it will kill bugs too as well. So it's a systemic, and it's absorbed by the plant. So no fungal issues, no disease issues. It's fertilizing at the same time, and also making sure you don't have pest issues. So sanitation is the biggest thing that I can tell you about making roses clean. If you want to have space, good air circulation for roses, have them at least 3 to 4 feet apart. If you have a rose garden with every rose bush close together in like a square, in a formal garden area, in a knot garden, you want to make sure that you've got good air circulation and that you keep your garden clean. So BioAdvance 3-in-1 all-in-one rose and flower care, it's rainproof for 6 weeks. So you can put it down every 2 months. It should be just fine. So real quickly, what are my favorite roses? Antique old roses. I love Louis Philippe. They're called cemetery roses. Old garden roses, they're wonderful. Louise Odaire and Madame Isaac Perrier, Madame Plantier, and Zephyrine Druhan. Okay, those are my favorite antique old roses. My favorite climbers are America, Don Juan, Joseph's Coat, Lady Banks Rose, and New Dawn. My drift roses, I love them. They are wonderful, low maintenance. If you don't know how to grow roses, get drift roses. Apricot, popcorn yellow, red, and white. David Austin, should have seen the beautiful roses in England. We can have them here. The David Austin roses are wonderful. Abraham Darby, Bosca Bell, Buttercup, Gertrude Jekyll, Graham Thomas, Jude the Obscure, Lady Emma Hamilton, Queen of Sweden, The Generous Gardener, and The Shepherdess. Floribundas, I love Angel Face and Sentimental. So fragrant. And Angel Face is frilly around the edges. Just lovely around the petals. Grandiflora, Lagerfeld, Melody Parfumé, Queen Elizabeth. Hybrid Teas, Chrysler Imperial, Double Delight, Mr. Lincoln, Perfume Delight. Polyanthus, little miniature roses, The Fairy, China Doll, Cecile Bruner. Shrubs, Belinda's Dream, Distant Dreams, and Coco Loco. If you'd like to have a copy of my favorite roses, you can send me an email at she-consulting.com. On my website, send me an email, or on betterlawns.com, teresa.watkins@live.com, and I will send you my favorite roses. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Like Joanne in Maitland, who is an avid listener. Thank you so much, Joanne. And her favorite rose is the Mr. Lincoln, which is on my list too as well. Tom in Apopka loves Belinda's Dream. And Betty's favorite is Perfume Delight, which is one of my favorites too. And Sarah loves Knockout Roses. So thank you so much for that. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus. Good morning, Jerry. How are you? How can I help?
Morning. Thank you, Teresa. I got a question about the Pakistani mulberry. It's red.
Yes.
Fruited, supposedly. I got it in a large pot.
Uh-huh.
And they had a sale on it. So I tried. And can I really grow it here, or is it a good thing? It seems to not like the high temperature of the sun.
Well, do you have it in full sun or shade?
It's full sun right now, and I can move it to shade.
Yeah, I think that would help a little bit, but it's also in the container. And so it's going to need to be watered more because, I mean, you're over there near Citrus County, right? And Crystal River area. And they are really in a bad drought, and it's not going to get better. So how often do you water it, Jerry?
Well, I didn't water it for a couple of days. That's when it started to show the effect.
Yeah.
I water every day, huh?
Okay.
How much do you water? It's about a 20-gallon pot.
It's a 20-gallon pot, and do you have holes in the bottom?
Yeah,
do you have holes in the bottom of it? Okay, so I would water it until it runs down through the bottom. It starts to seep out.
Okay.
If you're only putting a couple of cups, if you're just putting a couple of cups in it, that's not going to be enough to get to the root ball.
No, it's when I water it, even every several days, I fill it up to the rim, about an inch up there, but I didn't check the bottom. I should.
Yes, because it's got to go down to because the roots are down in the middle of the pot, and that 1 inch, especially if it's during the heat of the day, that could evaporate in an hour, so that water doesn't even stay there.
Yeah, because I'm having a lot of trouble with my regular garden even.
Yeah, exactly.
Up with it.
I know. I'm just telling you, it's really hard. The drought's really hurting. So, yeah, just make sure, because you can get away with watering it once a week or twice a week if you soak it. So soak that pot, let it drain, and then it'll be able to handle the moisture a little bit better. Now, the other thing is, how long has it been in the pot?
Oh, I don't know. I got them in the nursery. It probably was in there a while because it was on sale.
Yes. So go ahead and pull it out of the pot. Look at the root system. Make sure you've opened up the root system and that there's enough good soil, moisture soil in the pot.
Uh-huh. And I should plant it out right away then.
Yeah. Probably. If you want to put it in the ground, I would do that. And then, a little bit of morning sun all the way through like 12, 1 o'clock, and then shade in the afternoon is just fine.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I got you. Afternoon shade. And if I have real trouble, how can I propagate it? Will it root some cuttings?
Yes, it will.
Easily in soil or water?
So what I would do? No, I would do it in soil. And what I would do, again, moisture is going to be very important. So you're going to have to make sure it stays wet for when you cut the branches. Cut it diagonally. And I would do 6 to 8 cuttings, and you should get 2 or 3 out of those 6 to 8 cuttings.
Okay. About a foot long.
Yeah, a foot long. Cut it diagonally right there below a node, and it'll be just, it'll root easily.
Yeah, because I'd like to try this one. I'm supposed to have the long mulberries.
Yes.
Long red ones.
Yes.
And the other ones I had were some kind of hybrids, and they only had short ones, which... Sort of hard to come by. The birds would gobble them up.
Yeah, that's true. So it really needs moisture, but just check the pot. Make sure you're giving it enough water.
I appreciate that, Teresa. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jerry. Day. You too. Happy Father's Day. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Eileen, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am good. How can I help you?
Okay. Well, my favorite rose is the drift roses.
Yes, they are great.
Yeah, I love those. And now that I got 2 new ones for my birthday.
Oh, what color?
They were white and red, and they are absolutely beautiful.
Oh, I'm so pleased. Well, happy birthday. I'm so glad you got them.
Yeah, it was back in February.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it.
That's okay. That's okay, because I haven't called in a while.
We were just discussing that, so you're on the naughty list.
And she also has a question about staghorn fern, too, right?
Yeah. My staghorn is over 30 years old.
Wow.
It fell out of the tree during the hurricane.
Uh-huh.
And it's staying there.
There you go. I agree with you. Is it still in the shade?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's over 7 feet.
Wow. That's really, really, really cool.
And nobody is going to pick that up.
It's a shrub now. Okay. Just call it your staghorn shrub.
It's a privacy fence.
It definitely is. And I have one more question, if
sure.
you don't mind.
No, go right ahead.
You know, I've never had a problem with grasshoppers.
Oh, the lubbers.
Only the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And I used to treat the yard a couple of times a year.
Uh-huh.
And that kept the bugs out, and I never saw grasshoppers.
Right.
So I'm treating the yard, and I haven't seen any grasshoppers.
Well, that's good. I'm really pleased to hear that. You know, when they get in your yard, they love to go for the thick leaf plants like your amaryllis and your crinum lilies. And so just check those, you know, in February, March, and just look for them. You got to kill them when they're little. So,
yeah, I hate them.
I hate them, too.
Yeah.
We're just going to start a society. I hate lubbers society.
So I really do.
Eileen, it's good to hear from you. I thought about you last week. I planted some African violets, and I was thinking of you. So I hope you feel better.
For my birthday, too.
Wonderful. Well, it sounds like he's taking good care of you. Thank you for calling in, hon.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye. I love Eileen.
Yes. All right. She brightens my day.
So Alice in Melbourne. Oh, no, she's not in Melbourne. She's in on the coast. We're going to answer your question in just a minute. We're going to go to a hard break here. Thank you so much. 1-888-455-2967. If you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. Text me 23680. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you missed any of the first hour or any part of this hour, you can always go to our website on betterlawns.com. You can go to Audioboom, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts on iHeartRadio. Just Google Teresa Watkins and Better Lawns and Gardens, and it will come up. So our good friend in on the coast, Alice, she says, my 7-foot hibiscus bushes are dropping all their leaves. Looks like they're dying, and what can I do? And Alice, if I remember correctly, you do not have an irrigation system, and it has been so extremely hot that hibiscus are one of the plants that need to be watered on a regular basis. So if you're not getting rainfall, you're going to hand water them, I would say twice a week, and just make sure that root ball gets soaked. So how do you know how much to put down? Well, get a gallon jug, Alice, and then you fill, time how long it takes you to fill that gallon jug up. And you want to put down at least 4 gallons of water on that hibiscus that's 7 foot tall. And so time how long it takes to fill it up. Then you multiply that by 4. We're doing a lot of math today.
Yeah.
And then that's how long you hold the hose on that root ball. Okay, and it could be, I would say, probably 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and that should be enough, all right? And I would love for you to go on a garden tour. Let's go to Bev in Tallahassee. Good morning, Bev.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
We're doing great. I'm so glad to hear from you.
Thank you. I'm a little late to the party here, but I thought I would mention
a rose that grows up here. It's an indigenous rose. It's called Evening Blush.
Ooh, it sounds nice. Tell us about it.
Well, it's only grows maybe about 4 feet high.
Uh-huh.
Mine's over 35 years old. My mother gave me as a housewarming present. But the lovely thing about it is that it blooms almost all year long.
So is it a climber? Is it, you know?
No, it's just a shrub.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't have my terminology.
No, that's fine. I understand.
But it puts out just prolific blooms, and they're a beautiful pink, an evening blush pink, and they're fragrant. Like, I take the blooms when they're on their last legs and dry them and put them in sachets.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, so, it's a nice little rose, and it's easy. You know, you don't have, it's not fussy for up here.
Okay.
Now, is it a rose, or is it like the knockout rose bush?
Because
I've seen them
knockout.
Both.
It has true blooms, roses with petals.
Oh.
It's not a knockout. It's a evening blush.
No, knockouts haven't been around for 35 years, so it's...
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That
No. I'm just saying that it sounds like it's an old rose.
It's an old rose.
Yeah, and I can't... I'm going to look for it and see what it looks like, but I would love to see photos, Bev, if you want to send us photos. We'd love it.
I'll have to text a picture to Lizzie and because I'm analog.
Now, I understand. I appreciate that. You get them to Lizzie, and Lizzie knows where to find me.
Yes.
All right, hon. Thank you so much for calling in. I'm so glad. I'm going to look for this rose.
I've looked it up. It is gorgeous.
And my Peggy Martin from Dr. Bachman, Gary Bachman, who's going to be here this summer with Tom, and then also in October with us again. So we're looking forward to that. And our Peggy Martin rose is doing well. This is the rose that survived the Katrina hurricane in New Orleans and does well. And we saw it in Savannah and on our Charleston trip.
So
if you love roses, come on a garden tour and we'll show you roses. We love doing that. There was some beautiful ones at the Chelsea Flower Show.
See, you didn't ask me what my favorite fragrant roses. I know this is your show.
Sorry. No, I'm so sorry, Lizzie. What is your favorite rose?
It's got to be the two, the fragrant cloud, which ends up being that orange Tropicana color.
I know it.
The Fireman? I think it's the Fireman. It's a red rose.
Oh, really?
I got it from Peterson's Nursery.
Oh, my goodness. That's one I've not heard of.
And it's very smelly good. And then the fragrant plum.
The fragrant plum. Yes. Okay, I'm writing those two down.
Yes.
I've got to go see Howie and see what the Fireman looks like. And then the fragrant plum.
Yes.
I bet the color is beautiful on that.
Yes, it is. And the Fireman one, kind of, I also have a Don Juan.
Yes.
So it kind of looks just like that, but I don't know. It smells so good.
I can just imagine. Oh, well, that's wonderful. That's really great. Let me tell you real quick about rain lilies. Rain lilies are wonderful, very, very low maintenance, like no maintenance. I'm just telling you right now, no maintenance. They are beautiful. They are they're a perennial, but their leaves look like liriope. But 3 days after it rains, they will bloom, and they have colors anywhere from cream to pink to white to yellow to deep color combinations of yellow and pink. And orange, they have orange ones, which are fantastic. And so we do have the white Adamasco native rain lily. And they are spring flowering bulbs, but they also bloom in the summertime too as well. And no insect issues, no disease issues. They grow in conditions from bogs to deserts. They look incredible in rock gardens and in rain gardens. So best place to find them locally. I don't know if Peterson's Nursery or Quality Green Specialist has them, but you can find them at plantdelights.com, which is my favorite online nursery. Plantdelights.com. That's one word. And they have beautiful ones there. I ordered some orange ones. And the yellow ones look like crocuses.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's crocuses in the summertime. And so that's how beautiful they are. And they are perennials. And the thing is that you can plant them with blue-eyed grass, apostle's iris, spiderworts, succulents, naked ladies, and amaryllis. They look good. And the naked ladies are a really great plant, Lizzie. We need to get you some.
Okay.
She's trying not to laugh here. And so we do appreciate Dana Venrick for sponsoring our show. Also, all of our sponsors, if you will let them know, they provide the show so that you can hear it free. And that is our sponsor, Summit Responsible Solution. We named the studio after them because they're so good. And I just posted a post from them. And Rainey and Greg, if you will get mosquito bits for your tree, that will prevent the mosquitoes from getting in that crotch. That holds water. And so I'm sure that you have some mosquitoes coming from that two trees growing together, and they have that crotch in the middle, and it holds onto water, moisture. And so I know the mosquitoes are in there. Black Cow. Black Cow is great for amending your soil and putting in your vegetable garden. So thank you to them. Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland is wonderful.
Yes, and they also have a, next Saturday, they have a patriotic landscaping, the red, white, and blue, at starting at 9:30 next Saturday.
Oh, that's
so,
really great.
Yeah, contact them and let them know that you would like to attend and bring your own
chair. Bring your own chair. That's it. And so that is wonderful. Quality Green Specialist is at 335 West Michigan Street, or you can go to qualitygreenspecialist.com and find out more. If your local station doesn't broadcast Better Lawns and Gardens, please ask them to. You can just contact them directly and say we would love to hear it. Or if you're only getting an hour, you're being restricted from great information. So tell them you want to hear all 2 hours of it. And yes, we would love that. Text messages, yes, 23680 here. And then let me see, watering right now. Cutting back trees, you can do it right now. Go ahead. Water your tree well before you cut, just so that it's hydrated. You don't want to be stressing the tree out right now during these drought periods. We're getting a lot of rain now. Rainy season has started. But make sure, if you're in those counties that are still in drought conditions, that you do water before you cut. It's safe to prune right after you're flowering or you're harvesting fruit. You can prune as well. And so I will be, let me see, some of the things you need to do right now. Time to fertilize your lawns is over for the majority of the state. June 1st starts a fertilizer ban through most counties through October 1st. So if you need to green up your lawn, if it's turning yellow from getting all this rainfall, you can apply an iron-only product. And that will help it green up without telling it to grow or cause pollution, because that's the reason they stop allowing, they don't allow the fertilizer in the summertime, because all this rain pushes that fertilizer into the lakes and canals. And so we don't want to stress our lakes out. We want them nice and clean. Do not use herbicides when temperatures are over 85 degrees right now. And check your irrigation heads. Make sure they're not watering cement or asphalt. Asphalt does not grow better when you water it. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you so much to all our callers and listeners. We do appreciate you. Thank you to our sponsors. Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Go to www.betterlawns.com to check out all the podcasts that we have uploaded there if you missed anything.